Well, good morning, everybody. It is the Prayer Closet. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs, and this is the half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, and concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request today, we want to pray for you. 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. Give us a call. Let us know what is on your heart today, and we will lift it up before the Lord on the Prayer Closet. 419-389-0893. That's 419-389-0893. And Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can have to come before you to pray together, to lift each other up in the Lord, knowing, Lord, that you are there to meet us. You are there to greet us. You are there to help us. You are there to strengthen us, encourage us. And Lord, without you, we would be lost. Without you, we'd be hopeless. But Lord, you come to help us. You come to strengthen us. You come to encourage us. And that in you and through you and because of you, we can have fullness of life and joy. And so we thank you this day, Lord. We thank you for your love, your care, your grace, your mercy, which you flood over us each day. For your many acts of provision, your many blessings that we experience each and every day, and the many ways you touch us and watch over us. We thank you. We praise you. You are a good and great Father. And we give you all glory, Lord, because you are worthy. We pray that your name be exalted in all the earth, that you be lifted up and praised, and that your name be magnified before all the earth, Lord, and that all the earth would come before you and rejoice in you. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com are the ways to get your prayer requests to us. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information. We just want to pray for you. So don't, you know, if it's something personal, you know, maybe you're in trouble in your marriage and stuff. I know you don't want to advertise that on the radio. We understand that. But you don't need to tell us even who you are when you call in, right? God knows who you are. That's what matters. So we'll always keep that anonymous. We just want to pray for you. So don't neglect or not get the prayer you need. Don't let the adversary hinder you from getting that prayer because he's trying to shame you or quiet you. You could have, you know, hundreds, thousands of people praying for you right now today because other people join in as they hear those requests. They pray along together with us. Let's not miss that opportunity. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer, we always like to get into the Word of God. And yesterday we finished up. Last couple of weeks we've been doing the life of Abraham. And yesterday we finished up with Abraham. And so we just kind of do a little potpourri for the next 2 days, today and tomorrow. And we'll start something new next week. But I want to talk about this because I saw this interesting article. It was from the New York Times. And it was all about how these wealthy, successful, professional people in New York are miserable. That in the article detail, this guy talked about how he, you know, went back to his college reunion. He graduated from Harvard, and he said, you know, he remembered going into Harvard and knowing that, you know, the fact that they got into Harvard and got like a Harvard MBA, they felt like, you know, everybody there felt like they had their ticket stamped to success, graduated, you know, carry a Harvard degree out into the world, you know, you're going to be in line for some top level jobs and make good money. And he said, and we did. As we got together, you know, all my classmates were doing well in their field. They were rich. They were making really good money. They were successes, but none of them were happy. Many had been divorced. Families had broken apart, struggling with personal lives. Others, you know, he said, you know, on the outside, they were fine. You know, their families were together. They were still married, but just finding no satisfaction and joy in their work. And so many of them said the same thing. You know, I'm making all this money, but I hate going to work every day. There's so much pressure. There's so much pressure to perform and succeed. And the rewards are great, but I hate what I do. And I spend all day hating it. I don't like the people I work with. I don't like the job I'm doing. And some of them even talked about how they had opportunities to change jobs and do something different, but they just, you know, they couldn't take the pay cut or whatever, or weren't willing to take the pay cut. And it was a sobering article and also a reminder. One of the things the article said that is after, you know, your basic needs are met, if you have a job, it's good enough to pay the bills and put food on the table, that if you don't like the work, it really doesn't matter how much more money you make. That more money doesn't make people happier in their jobs after you hit a certain level. You got a job, you're barely making enough to make ends meet, and you get a better job, and it improves your standard of living, and you're able to pay all the bills, that can make you happier. But if you're at that level where, you know, you're able to get by, you're able to meet all your basic needs, more money doesn't make you happier. And all the things that we tend to work for and fight for and scramble for don't make us happier. And there's so many people who every day go to work and they're miserable. They hate what they do. And they just, you know, money's good, pay's good, but they're deeply unhappy. I know in my own life, I have friends who have jobs where they make a lot more money than I do. And yet they've told me. I go, you know, 8 hours a day. I spend all day at a job I hate. But, you know, they don't feel like they can quit because they're making such good money. And, you know, but they're like, and they've asked me, like, you know, because I've had some of them considering, you know, leaving and doing other things. And they've come to me and said, how do you do it? Because they know I'm poor because I'm in Christian radio and a pastor. So they know I'm not making any money. So, like, how do you do it? You know, and talking to them about, you know, well, you got to give up stuff. You know, maybe you don't take lots of vacations and you don't drive new cars and you don't. And, you know, what's sad is how many of them were just not willing to make that change. And they're still doing jobs they don't like, you know, because the money's too good. But they're miserable. You may not make a lot of money in Christian radio or being a pastor, but I can tell you it's pretty fulfilling work. And it's joyful work. It's worth doing for those reasons. But I think it's worth doing for those reasons because, you know, in my case, I'm doing what God has called me to do. Now, God may not be calling you to ministry. He may not be calling you to Christian radio or pastor. That's fine. I mean, he's not going to call everybody to that. But how often are we missing out on things God wants us to experience because we've fallen into the lie that the things of the world will make us happy? And that's what I see with these people. As I read this article, you know, they're all chasing after the things of the world, and they've gotten them, and they're still not happy. And they're so frustrated because they don't know what to do. I'm not happy. I don't feel like my work has any meaning. I don't feel like it has any purpose. I don't feel like I'm doing anything, and I'm making a good living. I got a lot of money, and I should be enjoying all this, but I'm not. I'm miserable. Where do I turn? The world promises us all kinds of stuff. It makes it all glittery and nice and says, if we get this and we get that, you'll be so happy. But the reality is the things of the world can't satisfy us. And if that's what we're pursuing, we're never going to find the joy and the peace that God wants us to have. But here's the good news. God wants you to live with joy. He wants you to live in joy. He wants your life to be joyful. He wants you to experience joy. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians is such a great book. It's an incredible book of joy. Paul's sitting here. He's in prison. He's under house arrest. He's chained to this Roman guard 24 hours a day. He's on trial for his life. Literally could be executed if he loses his trial. So he doesn't even know what the outcome's going to be. Might be dead soon. And he writes to the church in Philippi, and he writes this book of incredible joy. I mean, it just, the book overflows with his joy. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Later on, in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Throughout the book, he's just calling people, have joy, have joy, have joy. I want you to experience the joy of God. I want you to live in joy. Don't worry about what your circumstances are. Don't worry about what the things are around you. Rejoice in the Lord. Find joy in him. Because this is God's desire for you. Jesus said, I have come that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. God wants you to have joy in your life. And if you're living in a way in your life that's not bringing joy to you, something's wrong. Something's wrong. In some way, you're out of step with God because God wants you to have joy. And he's calling you to joy. And so if we're not experiencing joy, if we're not experiencing that deep sense of satisfaction in the Lord, something's wrong. Something in our life that needs to be altered or changed, something that needs to be picked up or something that needs to be set down, whatever it may be, because God wants you to have joy. His desire for you is to have joy. And by the way, that doesn't mean our circumstances will always be perfect or everything will always be right or we won't face problems or trials. Joy can exist in the midst of all those things. Joy is that eternal sense of our perfect well-being in God. That whatever happens, we're going to be perfectly fine in the Lord. Joy is not necessarily happiness. I mean, happiness is an emotion that comes and it can go. Right? You can be happy in the morning and get a bad report from the doctor and suddenly the happiness is gone. But joy should not be. Joy is a steady rock that doesn't change and doesn't alter. That stays with us in the good times and the bad, in the trials and in the victories. As Paul writes later on in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, he's talking to them about they have sent him some gifts, some money and some help and in prison and, you know, in Roman days, when you were in prison under house arrest, you had to provide for yourself. Couldn't go out and work, but you still had to provide for yourself. So, because the state wasn't giving you money. They weren't giving you 3 squares a day. You, either people fed you and sent you food, or you starved. So obviously he had need of people caring for him. And so the Philippian church, hearing about this, had sent him some gifts and things to help him during his time. And so he writes to them and says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Paul saying, you know what? My joy in God is permanent. I have found the secret to contentment, to satisfaction in life, regardless of what my outer circumstances are. By focusing on Christ and trusting in Him, I have found peace and contentment and joy. And it doesn't matter what's happening around me. It doesn't matter if I have plenty or want. It doesn't matter if I have a lot to eat or little to eat. I'm content in the Lord. You know, the irony is, as we read this article about these professionals, you know, they have plenty, right? They are living well. They're making lots of money. They're living high, but they're not content. There's no contentment. They have everything that says you should be content, everything to make them content, but the stuff that they have isn't stuff that makes us content. Paul says the things that make you content aren't the things of the world, aren't the things out there around you. It's God who makes you content. And if you have the Lord, then you'll have contentment, but only if you have the Lord. We can have everything this world has to offer, and we can still be miserable. We can have nothing, and we can live in joy. The question is, what are we living for? Who are we living for? Where are we setting our heart? When we set our heart on God, we set our heart on one who wants us to have joy. And so when we set our heart on Him, He will bring joy to us. John Piper says of God, his famous statement, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. God wants you to find joy and satisfaction in Him because that's when He is most glorified in your life. So if you're not living in joy today, go to the Lord. Tell Him. Be honest. Ask Him, Lord, what do I need to do to have Your joy? I'm tired of living in this world and frustration and discontentment and disappointment. Help me to live in Your joy. What do I need to do? And then trust Him. He may call for some pretty radical changes in your life. Maybe He calls you to leave a job to make a lot less money somewhere else. Maybe He calls you to leave one position you're in to move into another. Or maybe He won't change anything around you. Maybe there's some attitudes and things in you. I don't know what it's going to be. It could be a lot of things. But listen to Him and trust that whatever He tells you, it's for your good, so that if when you bring your heart into alignment with what He's doing, you will receive joy. And you'll never turn back. Because God wants you to have joy. And if you give your life to Him, He will give it to you. He wants you to have it. And one request in, listener writes in, says, I went to my doctor's yesterday and he's happy with how I've been doing and things are improving. God is good. Praise God for that. Still asking for prayer for their marriage. They've asked prayer for before and just saying they still need some help. They're having our good times, but still need help with communication and improving the communication in the marriage. Lord, we do thank You for this good report from the doctor. We thank You for the improvement in health of this listener. Lord, we thank You for Your healing hand that has been upon her to help her and strengthen her. And Lord, we pray that You will continue to heal her, continue to strengthen her, to continue to build her up in health. And we thank You for the work that You're doing. And Lord, we pray that that same healing that You've brought to her body, You'll now bring to their marriage. Lord, we pray that You will touch that relationship, heal it, strengthen it, open up those lines of communication, help them to be able to talk to one another and strengthen their walk with You and their walk with each other. That marriage will be a joy and a blessing to them. And we pray this in Your name. Amen. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is the Prayer Closet. Oh, we got one more coming in. Well, let me tell you that you can get your prayer requests to us throughout the day at prayer@yeshome.com. Or you can call 419-389-0893. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's always somebody here who will be happy to pray with you. And we got one more prayer request just came in. It says, for a two-year-old, got a cut yesterday. No stitches, but the wound would not heal and just had a lot of bleeding. So just praying that the wound would heal up quickly and there'd be no pain. Lord, we do pray for this child to receive this cut, and Lord, pray for healing for them. Pray that You'll cause this cut to close, that there be no more problems with the bleeding or anything. And Lord, we pray that they would just heal up quickly, that they would have no extra pain or no infection or anything like that would set in. And Lord, as You heal them and restore them quickly to health. And we pray this in Your name. Amen. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. This is the Prayer Closet. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. It's been a joy to be with you. We'll be back tomorrow, same time. God bless. Have a great day.